you're going to be like, wow, that Ruby girl is really, really cool. And I want to be your friend. Ruby, 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 Ruby!
Hey, Arcaders! Welcome once again to the Cartoon Connoisseur Theater Podcast and our special mini-cast, Ruby Roundup. This is the mini-cast where we're talking about Rooster Teeth's Ruby. Now, if you've never watched the show before, roosterteeth.com, you can go watch the show there. If you're a big fan of anime, of action, adventure, it's a really great show filled with really great characters, and I'm actually very excited talk about this whole season. We'll be going through volume 3 of Ruby. So if you haven't watched volumes 1 and 2, you can go on Netflix, you can go on Crunchyroll, you can go on YouTube, you can go on the Rooster Teeth website, roosterteeth.com, and you can actually watch the episodes there, as well as volume 3 on roosterteeth.com and on YouTube. So feel free to do that. So before we get started, though, I do have a quick announcement. Well, actually, several quick announcements. As you know, Cartoon Connoisseur Theater does another mini-cast called Pokemon Rewind, where we go over the Pokemon anime episode by episode. Well, this month, February, we are going to be celebrating the 20th anniversary of Pokemon. And because we are celebrating the 20th anniversary of Pokemon, we have a very special two-part podcast that's coming up starting on the 27th, which is officially Pokemon Day, and we're going to be going over the first movie. In this episode, we're going to have interviews from a few of my friends who really, really love Pokemon and wanted to share with you guys, so I went around and interviewed a few people. But I also want you, the audience, to be a part of this. So if you go on our website, thearcadearchives.com, again, it's thearcadearchives.com, look up the latest Pokemon Rewind podcast, you can actually find the questions. And what we want you to do is we want you to answer these, record yourself using your smartphone, your tablet, or even computer nowadays has really easy recording software. We want you to record for about 7 minutes and also try to keep the language to a PG rating, okay? Because this is a family show. We want everyone to be able to listen to this. Record yourself answering these questions and maybe a few extra memories that you want to throw in. And if you send it to us at talesfromthegamegrid@gmail.com, again, that's talesfromthegamegrid@gmail.com, we will then put this in the podcast. Now, you have until February 15th to get this done. So make sure you send it to us as soon as you can. Okay? So, another thing, I also do another podcast called The Electric Circus, and it's back. Our latest episode talked about Star Wars The Force Awakens. If you're a big Star Wars fan, check that out. It's me and Raygun, and we talk a little bit about our thoughts about The Force Awakens and what we liked about the movie, what we didn't like about the movie. So please check that out. You guys will love it, right? And hopefully we'll be getting these out once a month, every month. So check those out, okay? All right. Before we begin, I just want to remind you guys that we are going to be going over the new episode, episode 10 of Volume 3 of Ruby, and we will be going through spoilers. So if you haven't watched the episode yet, please make sure you watch the episode before actually listening to the rest of this podcast. With all that out of the way, it is now time to get into this episode. Now, today's episode is episode 10 of Volume 3 of Ruby, and it's called Battle of Beacon. So just to give you a little bit of a recap from the last episode, we have now got a grim attack because of what happened to Penny, because Pyrrha accidentally killed her because of Emerald and her visions. There was an outcrying and is now called All the Grim. We also figured out that the White Fang are also helping the Grimm to attack the city and the school. This whole chaotic thing is going on. The army is all in disarray. They're being attacked by both Nevermore and the White Fang. And the stadium where most of the characters were all at is now being attacked by a giant Nevermore. Now, we go back. The first scene of the episode starts off in the fairgrounds. Now, as you remember from the last episode, Weiss and Blake decided to go to a cafe in the fairgrounds and have some tea and coffee. while this was all happening, and they watched the match with Pura on the video screen. But when all this happened, now they're kind of running out, kind of just surprised and not even understanding what's going on right now. They're just in all kind of chaos right now. Now, right away, Blake pulls out her scroll, which is kind of like their version of an iPhone, and she calls Yang to see how Yang is doing. Now, Yang is running from her dorm outside towards the school and tells Blake that she's okay, that she's fine, but then stops and says, "What about Ruby? How's Ruby? What she's up to? Where is she? I need to know that she's okay." Blake says, "Don't worry, she's our leader. She can take care of herself." Now, being a big brother myself, that's the first thing you kind of worry about when you are in trouble. You kind of worry about your family, kind of worry about your siblings. And you can see it in Yang's face. Now, it takes her a second, and you even see her kind of clench her fist. But she knows Blake's right. She knows that Ruby can take care of herself. Even though she's still worried about Ruby, she kind of runs off. Then she tells Blake, "Hey, I'm going towards the docks where the White Fang is unloading the Grimm, and we need to stop them." This surprises Blake. She is just beside herself. You can see the expression on her face. She kind of loses color in her face, too, when she hears the White Fang. Before she could say anything back to Yang, Yang has to hang up because now she's being attacked by the Grimm. This gets Blake ready, and she calls for her rocket locker, which has all of her equipment in it, and she grabs it and says, "Let's go help Yang out," and Weiss decides to go with them. Meanwhile, back at the stadium, everything is going to crap. This Nevermore is attacking the shield that's covering the top of the dome. While all this is going on, Ruby is still in shock. She is on the ground, on her knees. She just can't believe what has just happened to one of her best friends. She's just frozen. But it's not just her who's frozen. Also, Pura, who is right there, still in the middle of the stadium. She's still looking at what she did to Penny. She just can't believe what she has done. She's so in her own world right now that she can't even hear Jean, who is calling out to her, telling her that she needs to move because this Nevermore is about to break through the shield, which it does, and then lands on the ground. As this is happening, Jean jumps out of the seats. He goes onto the stadium floor and runs after Pura. But the Nevermore then brushes them off by doing a huge gust attack, which knocks both of them back. And the Nevermore then starts to try to attack Pura. Now, as this is happening, you see one of Penny's blades that she used go right into the Nevermore's chest. Now, right away, I thought, oh crap, Penny is still alive. But then it pulls back, and you see Ruby has grabbed one of her blades and is using it against the Nevermore to protect Pura and Jean. This is just a really cool scene of her just trying to fight off this Nevermore. But you can see that this Nevermore is huge, and if you remember from way back in Volume 1, it took all four of Team Ruby to really just destroy this Nevermore from before. So you know that Ruby is kind of in over her head at this point. Now the Nevermore jumps up, flies out, and decides to try to dive bomb Ruby. But just as the Nevermore is about to hit Ruby, all these rocket lockers come from the top of the stadium and actually knock the Nevermore down to the ground. You have this cool kind of Avengers-looking scene of all the students that we have met throughout the season thus far, and also all of our classic favorites, kind of getting their equipment out of the locker that's right on top of this Nevermore. And you think the Nevermore is dead, but then it starts to move, and all of the students then join together and fight the Nevermore together, and defeat it quite easily, because there's just so many of them. Now, as the Nevermore has been defeated and kind of just disappears, Pura, with tears in her eyes, starts apologizing to Ruby about what she's done, and she just feels so bad. And Ruby just kind of looks at her and goes, "I know it's a terrible thing that happened, but this is not your fault. This is somebody else's fault." And Jean kind of agrees and chimes in and says, "Yeah, We've got to pull ourselves together because we cannot let this happen to anyone else tonight." And so they all have this kind of like heroic moment of, okay, Pura gets up, she grabs her weapons from Jean, and she now is kind of ready to fight. And it's just kind of a great scene. They all hear noises and look up, and you see these new Grimm, which look really, really cool. I thought at first that they were kind of, they kind of look like a cross between a Pegasus, and for those of you who are Harry Potter fans, it kind of looks like an evil-looking hippogriff, but they're called griffins. They look really, really cool. I had to pause it and kind of look at these guys for a second. But these griffins start attacking. As these griffins are attacking, Ruby asks Son for his scroll to call her rocket locker, which comes down. She's about to get her weapon when a griffin then tries to attack her. And the two professors, Professor Ublek and Professor Port, fights off the griffin and tells the group that they're going to take care of all these Grimm that are in the stadium. And the professor says that this is kind of go down in history, but he doesn't want any of his students to die from this. And it's just a really great scene. So the two of them fight off the Grimm while the students kind of run off from the stadium. One of my favorite kind of little moments, they had just a kind of a quiet little moment of Velvet kind of taking a picture of Ruby being very heroic as they're kind of running off. Now, people are evacuating the stadium. They're getting away from the Grimm as quick as possible. And they're kind of loading on to escape transports. Just as they're doing this, the White Fang start coming up with their own transports filled with Grimm who start to attack. Then they introduce a new Grimm, which is kind of looks like a werewolf. I looked at the artwork at the end of the thing to see what these Grimm were called. I didn't really see because they look a lot different from the wolves that we see at the very, very beginning of the series in the Red trailer. They looked more werewolfish, but they're called wolves. These Grimm starts attacking all the drones that are attacking them and all the other people who are kind of just running away in all the chaos. One of them spots Ironwood and decides to attack. Now, Ironwood pulls out his weapon, which is it looks almost like a more modern pistol, but a lot bigger. Just easily takes this werewolf thing out. Just as he is finished doing this, Ruby and the rest of the group come out and kind of ask Ironwood what's going on. And Ironwood kind of just gives a Reader's Digest version of everything that's going on, everything that's happening. He tells everyone that he's going to get his fleet, which is now under the control of Torchwick, who is now in control of some of the ships. He's gonna get it back. So before he leaves, he kind of leaves the rest of the students with kind of a choice. You can either help the city and Beacon, or you can just go home and try to make sure that you survive. No one would put it against you if you decide to save yourselves, because this is just chaos. He kind of leaves the students with this decision, and Ruby just kind of stares at Ironwood's ship as it's leaving. Now, Torchwick is kind of playing with his new ship, seeing what all the buttons do. It's kind of a funny scene. And Neo comes up to Torchwick and gives him a black scroll, which he plugs into the console of the ship, and it puts a virus onto the ship, and now they're in control. Well, not only are they in control with the ship, they're now in control of the robots, which were previously under control of the good guys. And we get a scene of all the robots now turning on the people that they were helping originally. Weiss and Blake are being attacked by the drones. They're being surrounded. Ironwood ship is attacked by the drones. Crow
and Glenda
also being attacked by the drones now. And it's just a scene of all these drones now turning on everybody and kind of just attacking. Now, Ironwood ship blows up, and Ruby and the group see the ship kind of blow up, and she's just, I'm going to do something about this. So she, much to the dismay of everyone else, jumps off of the transport right back to the stadium, and she jumps on her rocket locker, and shoots up to where Torchwick's ship is and lands on top of it. Torchwick hears the bump and tells Neo to go take care of it. Meanwhile, Weiss is easily taking out a lot of the drones. Her speed is definitely huge, and is just taking out wave after wave of drones very easily. And one of the drones shoots her off. She uses a glyph to block it, and the force of the blast knocks her back to where Blake is. And Blake is being attacked by a lot of the White Fang members. One of the members almost gets the best of her, and Weiss jumps in and it saves her from the attack. As this is happening, they see Ironwood's ship fall down to the ground. Weiss looks at Blake and says, "Take care of yourself," and they split apart. Weiss, I'm assuming, goes towards where Ironwood's ship is, and Blake goes off on her own. Now, as Blake is running off, she then goes to the cafeteria and sees Adam, who is actually fighting off some of the soldiers, and just looks at him in shock, and he looks at her back and just says something to the effect of, "Well, hello, love. We're now going to probably get a fight between the two of them," which gets me really excited. We cut to a long kind of scene of just all the characters kind of fighting off Grimm and the robots who are now under the control of the bad guys. And we get the kind of like flight through the city. And then we go right back up to the top of this building where Cinder and her crew are. And they're kind of watching everything transpire. Cinder said that this is a beautiful thing that's going on. And Jade is kind of like, "Well, I don't know, I kind of actually feel sad for these people." Cinder's like, yeah, whatever. She looks at Mercury, who is kind of recording all of this. Now, why he's recording all of this, I'm not quite sure. Although I may have an idea, but I'm not going to go ahead and talk about it now. She is definitely has something more to this whole attack than what happens. She's done talking to Mercury, the ground starts to shake, and she walks off and says, "You don't want to miss what happens next." Now this is getting me, oh crap, what is going to happen now? Meanwhile, Ozpin is in his office, seeing all that is transpiring now. And he finally just kind of gets up and he doesn't say anything. But you know in his mind, he's going, "That's it, I've had it, I'm going to go do something about this now." Just as he does this, grabs his weapon, the ground shakes again. And you get a montage of all the different characters in all the different places feeling the ground shake beneath them. We cut to a mountain, and the mountain starts breaking apart. And as the mountain's breaking apart, you see a humongous Grimm, biggest Grimm that I think we've seen ever, break out of this mountain. It's a giant dragon with giant wings and just this rib on its chest and just huge eyes. And this dragon comes out of the mountain and just jumps up and starts flying towards the town. As the dragon is flying towards the town, these spores start coming out of its body, and the spores land on the ground and start creating other Grimm who start then attacking. And it's just kind of just this just ominous sight. Now, then you see all the other characters ready for whatever's about to happen now. And you see Team Juniper ready and willing, and even Pura is now kind of gotten over what's happened, and she's now ready to fight against these Grimm. As she does this, she looks over and sees Ozpin, who is standing a good 2 or 3 feet in front of everybody. She knows, I think, what she needs to do, and she starts walking toward Ozpin. Jean decides to follow her and see what's going on. He tells the rest of the team, "Go ahead and keep fighting. I'll be back. I want to see what's going on here." Then we get a long shot of Cinder, who is looking on of all this happening. And that's pretty much it for the episode. End of the scene. We're done. Now we're moving on to the next episode. So, with that, let me go ahead and talk about my pros and cons for this episode. First, my pro. This is such a really awesome episode. If this was a movie, this would be the part of the movie where you get excited for what's about to happen. All this action is happening. Everything that you've set up for the last few episodes is kind of falling down now. But now the heroes are getting into the swing of things. They're getting into the fight, and they're ready now to kind of fight this off. Everything that's kind of happens, everything that's as led up to this moment. I love it. I love it. I really do love it, and I'm very, very excited. Now, it didn't really hit me until I watched this episode how very similar this is to another one of my favorite movies. Now, I already talked about Empire Strikes Back and how this is a very dark tone. This volume has been a very dark tone, very similar to Empire Strikes Back. as I was watching this episode, I kind of was reminded of another movie trilogy that I also enjoy as well, and that's Lord of the Rings. This is very similar in tone to The Two Towers. Even this scene reminded me of kind of the scene where the castle that they were all at is about to be under attack. They're getting everyone ready, and the orcs then attack, and so all the characters are now fighting off these orcs all at the same time. It was very reminiscent of this, and it really got me excited to see what's coming up next. So I would say that this is very Lord of the Rings-esque. This is very exciting news, and I'm very happy to see what happens. Now for my cons. This is a separate episode. Now, as a single episode, this is full with nothing but action. Now, I know that this is a volume and this is all together, and I really can't wait to actually see this all together and then kind of see how this is all placed once it's all edited together and it's like one long movie as opposed to single episodes. One of the things that I really... And it's just because of my patience, I guess, is I hate waiting for new episodes to come out. It's probably why I don't buy a lot of comics. I usually wait until they're all compiled in a book before I start reading it. Because I want to see when I start reading a story, I don't necessarily like to stop and then have to pick it up. I want to continue to read it until the end. I want to see it through till the end. That was my only gripe for really this episode, is trying to see all this action happening. As a single episode, this is a lot of action. There's not really too much story meat. They did a lot of what I call Avengers scenes with all the characters getting ready, having action poses, kind of having all the characters have their moment to shine. And it was great. It was exciting, and it got me excited to go to the next part. But as a single episode, I wanted kind of a little bit more to kind of see some of the stories that they've been setting up. But I know that once I've seen this as a whole, and yes, by the way, I will let you know now, once this is all put together, I will see the thing as a whole and we'll do a kind of a finale of this podcast with my thoughts of this as a whole as opposed to just the separate episodes which we've been going over. So, but I will say that this story is very good. Ruby is very good at wanting to keeping your attention. I know I complained at the beginning of the season that they were taking way too much time to set up. And I know I've said this before, and I've probably said it for the last few episodes. Now you get to see the payoff. And now I'm not actually mad at how long they took to set this season, this volume up. Because now I can actually see where we're going and why we took so long to set everything up. So very excited to see the next episode of Ruby, and I hope you are too. So before we end this podcast, I want to go ahead and do some more housekeeping real quick. We are part of the Arcade Archives Network. You can go on our website, thearcadearchives.com. Again, it's thearcadearchives.com. Now, if you're listening to us on the site right now, we ask that you comment on this episode, and we want to know what you thought about this episode. If you've watched episode 10 of Ruby, and if you've watched even the series, we want to know what you think. What did you think of this episode? What did you think of the volume as a whole so far? What do you think? Are you a Ruby fan? Have you become a Ruby fan after this season? We want to know. So please leave your comments below. If you're listening to this on YouTube, also do the same. Make sure you comment, let us know, and I will put your comments in the next episode of Ruby Roundup. So please make sure you comment. You can also follow us on Twitter at Arcade A Network. Again, that's at Arcade A Network. Or you can follow me personally on my Twitter account at TalesFTGameGrid. Again, at TalesFTGameGrid. By the way, if you are on Instagram, we also have an Instagram account at the Arcade Archives Network. Just find that. You'll find us. And you can also follow us. We're going to be starting to really amp up the Instagram account. And we're going to be giving you news, hopefully daily if we can. if not weekly, about updates for the site and the new podcasts that are up. So we're very, very excited for that. We're very, very excited for what is to come. Also, of course, don't forget, Pokemon Rewind is also on this feed. Oh, and if you're listening to this on iTunes, please make sure you write a review for us. We don't care how many stars you give us, but please give us some stars. Let us know what you think so that other people can find us easily. Also, it's a whole list of things here, folks. Also, I am an artist and I have a monthly webcomic called Tales from the Game Grid, which is on thearcadearchives.com. Please make sure that you're reading this. If you like webcomics, if you like video games, please check this up. We just hit our 25th issue. And let us know what you think about the comic. I want to really know what you think. If you like it, if you don't like it, if I can improve with anything, please let me know. I really want this comic to be something special. And hopefully, we have some fun things in store for the comic this year. And I'm really hoping to soon announce this to you. So please keep to the site. Let us know what you think. Anyways, thank you very much again for joining us for this episode of Ruby Roundup. Thank you very much for joining us here. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you enjoyed the show. And best wishes to all of you. Thank you for listening to this Arcade Archives Network podcast. If you like this, please go to iTunes and write a review. You can also comment on thearcadearchives.com. Again, that's thearcadearchives.com. You can also go over to our other website, zowiekerpowie.com. Again, zowiekerpowie.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at TalesFTGameGrid. Again, at TalesFTGameGrid. Thank you again so much for joining us here for this Arcade Archives Network podcast, and keep playing like it's 1981.
Message from headquarters. This is a Rebellion production and is part of the Arcade Archives Network.
That is all.